Today is May the 13th, Thursday, 2010, in the evening, and we've entitled this message, Never Accept Defeat. Never Accept Defeat. Now, that's a lot easier to say than to do, especially when you're being maligned. Now, I'm not going to tell the audience everything that I've been through the last couple weeks, but I'm going to tell you Satan has been on the attack. And I'm going to tell you that it's been an absolute travail of soul what we've been through, our family. And like I said, I'm not going to go into all the detail, but Satan will try to get an advantage over us and will try to bring us down to the pit. And there are people out here in this world that absolutely hate Christians, even though some of them say they are Christians. They will do anything to try to bring God's people down. They will lie on them. They will spread rumors about them. They will do a lot of damage things on it. And that's what's been happening. But you know, God is faithful. And in the midst of all this that we've been through, the message for tonight is never accept defeat. Oh, we've been tempted to throw in the towel, I'm sure. I'm sure that all Christians at one time or another, when the road gets so rocky and steep, when it seems like we're in a barren and dry wilderness and we need some spiritual water, and it seems like we look around us and there's nobody to hedge in the gap, and it gets very, very discouraging. And I'm not here to complain or to murmur against God and my Potter or my Creator and my Lord and my Savior Jesus Christ. And I will say that part of the problem is my own doing, my own stupidity. Sometimes we do things and hindsight's always better than after you do them. But you know what? We have to live with the consequences of our stupidity sometimes. And that's the way we learn lessons. But in the midst of all of it, God is faithful to His people. I'm not here to say that I'm Mr. Perfect, because I'm far from it. And I'm succumbed to sin like anyone else. And we all have our weaknesses. But whenever we are, the Bible says when we're in the flesh, we cannot please God. And that has come to become very evident to me in the last couple weeks. You know, sometimes you have the best interest of certain people at heart, but yet it comes back to blow up in your face when you're trying. Sometimes when you're trying to do everything you know to do what is right, it's still, Satan still turns it around and slaps you in the face. And it really plays havoc with the heart. Because you think, wow, you know, I would have never dreamed it would have ended up like this. Satan would try to get an advantage over. Satan would try to bring us down. Satan would try to get us discouraged. Satan would try to get us say, can I even go on? Can I take another step? This was what was happening with us about, back about 10 years ago when we had this lawsuit against the state of Missouri. Same kind of thing happening all over again. I'm not going to go into the details right now, because it's highly confidential, but I can tell you this, that we do need all of the audience's prayers, because Satan has come up against us with a vengeance. But I know that my King, my God, lives, and I know that He will intervene for us. It may not be what we want, okay, but I know that He will give us the strength to go through whatever we have to go through. We're living in perilous times, folks. And I believe that Satan has been loosed. And I believe that I don't know what all we're going to have to go through in our lives before it's all over with. I think I was talking to someone today, and he's not even a professing Christian. And he made the statement to me, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if the whole United States economy would just crash within the next 2 months, the way things are going. And folks, we're seeing in Europe right now absolute financial devastation in those markets. Why am I bringing this up? Because the world is driven by these international bankers that are trying to bring chaos to the nations so they can control the nations, ushering in this one world government that we've talked about. But I want to remind our listeners that our subject matter is don't ever accept defeat. Because the reason we cannot accept defeat, even in the midst of all of this stuff that we're going through, is that we have to realize that underneath us are the everlasting arms of God. If we're His people, if we've been chosen in Him before the foundation of the world, and all of this stuff we're going through, God will be faithful. He cannot lie. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He said, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He said, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. He said, He works all things after the counsel of His own will. He said, all things that are created by Him and for Him, and there's nothing that's created that was not created by Him, Jesus Christ. He said, all that the Father giveth me will come to me, and all that come to me I will in no wise cast out. He said, this is the work of God, that you should believe on Him. He said in James, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above, cometh down from the Father of lights, from whom there is no shadow or turning. He said, James said, of His own will He beget us to be. So, don't accept defeat in the midst of these trials and tribulations that we're going through. Don't accept defeat. Don't look at the circumstances. If we looked at our circumstances right now, you know, we would just say, well, there's no reason going on. Just shut down sermon audio. Shut down whatthebiblesays.homestead.com. Shut down the old hymn website. And just go live in a cave somewhere. And just don't even say anything more. Folks, we're on the verge of the church having to go underground, I can tell you. With this new puppet in the White House. And that's what he is. He's a puppet. They want to create such animosity against Christians, true Christians, Christians that are taking a stand against homosexuality, Christians that are taking a stand against abortion. You know, it's amazing to me how so mixed up our society is. They'll absolutely condone the killing and murder of babies, and yet people don't have any, well, it's just, there's no boundaries. There's no boundaries. There's no accountability in our society left. Ethics are out the window. And the problem is the government will protect those who are in the wrong, and they know that they're in the wrong, and they protect them to control those who are trying to do what's right. That's exactly what it is. It's flipped on its... You know, the Bible says in the last days they'll call evil good and good evil. They'll call good evil, evil good, and good evil. They'll try to turn it around on its face. So if you have been maliciously maligned, false charges have been brought against you, if you're listening. If your church has come against you, maybe you're in a 501c3 church, maybe you're in one of those Presbyterian formed churches that has government that brought you to court and maligned you. Maybe you've been excommunicated from your church. Maybe you've been maligned by your family. Maybe you've been maligned by your employer. Maybe you've been maligned by your government, by your local government, your city, your county government, or your, even your state government. Folks, we're living in perilous times. But don't ever accept defeat. That's my charge to everybody listening. Don't accept defeat. Jesus Christ paid it all at the cross. He said it's finished. His precious blood avails for us. Satan would like for us to get discouraged and say, well, I guess Jesus didn't die for me. Well, I guess I'm not one of God's elect because of all this going on in my life. I guess God doesn't love me. Well, I guess I must be a reprobate because look at how many times I mess up and sin. Look at how many times I succumb. Look at how many times I've drawn away of my own lust and entice. Look at how many times I've gotten in the flesh. Look at how many times I've got angry. Just give it up. Just give it up. No. No, 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 no. Don't accept defeat. That's what Satan wants you to do. He doesn't want you to stay in the Word of God. He doesn't want you to repent of your sins. He doesn't want you to apologize to your neighbor if you do wrongly. He doesn't want you to try to live a life that is a life of repentance. He wants you to say, forget it. I don't believe in any of that stuff anymore. I don't believe the Bible. I don't believe Jesus' blood is effectual and atones for me. That's what Satan wants to do to his elect right now. I mean, that's what Satan wants to do to God's elect right now. Attack them. He wants to attack them on all fronts. Also, I want to ask that you would remember my wife in prayer and my son, Mark. You know, we have been attacked. We have been attacked. And I was recently in a meeting, and I'm not going to go into all the details, but I can tell you that there was an evil spirit in that meeting. It was very evident there was Satan was working in that meeting. And I just stood up and said, the meeting is over. The meeting is over. Do you know what? God knows all things. He knows our hearts. He knows our intents of our hearts. And He said we will come forth as gold. We've been tried in the fire of affliction. We will come forth as gold. So remember us in your prayers. And regardless of what happens, I want the sermon audio audience to know that we are not going to accept defeat. We are going to continue to take a stand against homosexuality. We're going to continue to take a stand against these false prophets out there. We're going to continue to take a stand for the cross of Christ and the completed work of Jesus Christ. We're going to continue to proclaim predestination and election and the covenant. We're going to continue to come against the Arminian doctrine only if God gives us the grace to do it. We can't do it in and of ourselves. Don't accept defeat. I remember when the case was going on with the state of Missouri, I was ready to accept defeat. And my wife said, it's not over till it's over. And God showed His power. God showed His power. His hand is not shortened that He cannot save. He's the one ultimately in charge of everything. And so we have to go to Him as our advocate, as our high priest, and go to the throne of mercy where we will find grace to help us in time of need. And so that's what we've done. And for all of you that are listening, that are ready to throw in the towel and say, well, is this, maybe this Christianity isn't all it was cracked up to be, just remind yourself, okay, what all the martyrs went through. Just remind yourself what all the apostles went through. Every one of them except John was martyred, died for the cause of Christ. We haven't seen anything yet, folks. Persecution is coming. Persecution, real persecution, is on the horizon. And I saw this coming about 2 years ago. I saw it coming. And anybody that has any spiritual insight and studies the Bible would have to be a blind not to see it coming. Because God has allowed these tyrants to get into power and to come against true Christians. We're living in the last days. Perilous times will come. People are lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God because their deeds are evil. And I'm going to have Mark read some scriptures. I hope that will encourage us not to accept defeat. You know, we sang a song back there when that case was going on. And it says, some through the waters, some through the floods, some through the fire, but all through the blood. And that's what we have to remember. If we are blood-bought pilgrims, we're going to go through the fire. We're going to go through the flood. We're going to go through the waters of persecution. And anybody that says otherwise is lying, because the Bible says if you're in Christ, you're going to suffer persecution. You know, there's a lot of people that believe in retaliating. And we're not supposed to retaliate. It's very difficult sometimes when you're very... life is on the line, so to speak. Your family and everything you've worked so hard for, and people come against you with a vehemence, with absolute hatred. So, are we ready for persecution? Are we ready to be thrown into jails, into prisons? Are we ready to be separated from our families? Are we going to just succumb to Satan's attacks on us and just say, well, I'm going to have to take all the sermons off of sermon audio that have to do with homosexuality. I'm going to have to take all the sermons off of sermon audio that have to do with abortion. I'm going to have to take all the sermons off sermon audio that come against Billy Graham and the Masonic Lodge and the Illuminati and the False Prophet. Is that what we're going to do? Is that what we should do? The Bible says we're supposed to be salt and light. You know? Well, I'm so old I can't do anything anymore. Well, I know some pretty old people that are still doing some things. And you know what? Elijah was not a young man. Jeremiah wasn't a young man when they threw him down in the pit. And, you know, we could go and look at some of the other prophets that were not young. Ezekiel wasn't young. Isaiah wasn't young. What does young have to do with it? You know, the older we get, the more responsible we should become. And the stronger we should become, and the more willing we should be. The more, you know, it reminds me of a guy that used to pastor at the church that my mom went to. And they kicked him out on his ear. And I remember he said to my mom, she was in the hospital, and I remember him making the comment, "Well, the church I'm going to, there's no problems. I'm not going to have any problems there. And everybody gets along, and I'm not looking for, you know, I don't expect any issues." And I just thought, that doesn't sound like the Apostle Paul. Well, the guy went down to that church, and he didn't last at that church very long. Now he's at another church, I understand. Look, if you're preaching the truth of the Bible, you're going to be lambasted. Paul was lambasted. Peter was lambasted. They put him in prison. Paul was beaten with rods. They tried to kill him. Yeah, they had to lower him over the side of a wall in a basket so he could make his exit. I mean, this guy, Paul, was shipwrecked, he was stoned and left for dead. For crying out loud, and we think that we got it bad. Well, it could get just as bad, folks. You know, anytime people start terrorizing the Christians, what's going to happen is it's going to separate the goats from the true sheep. It's going to separate them. The little people that take on these empty suits, that have these empty professions, all of a sudden they're no longer going to be confessing Jesus Christ, and they're not going to be talking about Jesus Christ, and they're not going to be talking about the fact that you're only trusting in His completed work and not their own. They're going to be taking a hike, and then all of a sudden they're going to be talking about the weather. They're fair-weathered friends, and they're going to be talking about anything other than spiritual things. But the elect are going to be talking about the completed work, and the only righteousness we can trust in is Christ's righteousness, not our own righteousness. Well, I guess I kind of got wound up. Anyway, Mark, I want you to go to this passage of Scripture. And it's... in the third chapter of 1 Thessalonians, if you want to grab your Bible real quick. And this is really interesting, because what is happening here is Paul is testifying of his great love to the Thessalonica church. And he's sending Timothy unto them to strengthen and comfort them by praying for them. And I want us to just realize that this was a time when the New Testament church was going through a lot of afflictions. They were going through a lot. Their lives were on the line. And so 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, I'll just read down through that with Mark. Says, "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation,
even as it came to pass, and ye know.
For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain.
But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you.
Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith.
For now we live, we stand fast in the Lord.
For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God?
Night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face, and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith.
Now God himself, and our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ, direct our way unto you.
The Lord make you increase in abound in love one toward another, and toward all men, even as we do toward you.
To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in the holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Well, today we're going through some stuff there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, just like we're going through some stuff. And but God is a great deliverer. I remember when I was coming up, I would play this song on the piano. He is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, go to him for rest. My God is able to deliver thee. So that's our exhortation tonight. Is when you're by sin oppressed, when I'm by sin oppressed, go to him for rest. He said, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Cast your yoke upon me and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's what he said. Come all ye that are weary and heavy laden. And I've been weary and heavy laden this week. I'm going to be honest about it. And, you know, some people glory, or some people really, you can tell, they're having a good time when they know you're going through it.
Yeah.
They enjoy seeing you go through the fire. But you know what? Jesus Christ is my high priest. He's my advocate. He is my... He is my defender. And the Bible says all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Now, need I remind our listeners of the scripture that says that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And there's a long laundry list that it goes through. Mark, why don't you read that for us? You know where that's found?
No.
Well, it's found in Romans. Look in Romans, the 8th chapter. I believe it's the last verse of Romans 8. Read that for us. I'll go there with you. Actually, read verse 38 and 39 of Romans 8.
For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Father, we pray that you would cause our hearts to be encouraged and help us not to accept defeat. And help us to realize that you are the author and finisher of our faith. And also help us to believe that there's nothing that can separate us from your love. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.